Sometimes every instinct we have runs counter to what the Bible says to do. That's especially true of reconciliation. When someone attacks us, we want to attack back. But the Bible says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Today, some hard lessons on resolving conflict and helping ourselves and others get over past injustices. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is nearing the end of his series on When You've Been Wronged. Today, our focus is on getting over it, finding God's way to handle the injustices of human relationships.
Well, the text is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, it's a passage that we ought to pray for our church. Sometimes I pray Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9 to the end of the chapter, for all of Moody Church. People say, how do we pray for Moody Church? You pray Scripture. And Paul is talking about human conflict, and there's always going to be human conflict. As long as some people raise chickens and others grow vegetables, there's going to be human conflict. It is as inevitable as one can possibly believe. So what we're going to do today is to look at three action steps that we can take that are in truth, to counteract some of the lies that we believe about human relationships. Three action steps. And aren't you fortunate? Your pastor, God bless him, actually puts this into an outline. I mean, pray for him because he's just too kind. That's a joke. But it is there. First of all, we emphasize truth by what we say. I'm in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Bless those who persecute you. You say, well, how do we do that? We speak well of them. First of all, we pray for them. And we don't pray, oh God, I pray that you might bring him into judgment. Vaporize him, Lord. Come, show your justice. You see, I'm asking you to do something today that is totally contrary to human nature. Because I've prayed that way. I've thought to myself, if God really wants to be God, this is the time to come out of heaven and smite somebody. That's not the way it's to be done. Bless those who curse you. We pray for them and we ask that God will bless them. We ask that they'll be drawn near to God. If they're not believers, we pray that they'll come to know Christ the Savior. We bless them. And it is, yes, indeed, by what we pray and also by what we say. We speak positively about them. Everybody has something positive you can say about them. Everybody. It's amazing. We like to put them in black and white or certain categories and say that this person is this way and this person is that way. But everybody has something good that you can say about them. Just do a little archaeological work and you'll be able to find it. I'm thinking of Robert G. Lee. He spoke in highest terms to the president about an officer. And somebody who overheard the conversation said to him later, "Didn't you realize that this man hates you and criticizes you at every opportunity?" And Robert G. Lee says, "Yes, that's true." He said, "But the president asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me." We try to speak well. Do you remember that story about the woman who wanted to divorce her husband? She'd been very critical, but, she wanted to divorce him. And she said to her attorney, "I want to hurt him to the full extent that I can. I want to sock it to him. You know, put in the knife and then give it a half turn." He said, "Well, I have an idea," he said. "What I want you to do is to speak well of him for 6 weeks. Only speak well. Compliment him. Tell him what a great man he is. Thank him for what he does. For 6 whole weeks. And then, you see, he's thinking that you really love him. And then what you can do is hand him the divorce papers. And it'll hurt a lot more. And then you'll sock it to him." For 6 weeks, she withheld all criticism, spoke only positively and wonderfully about him. Well, you know what happened after 6 weeks? They left on a second honeymoon. I'm telling you the power of words. It's fine for you to laugh, but I want you to get the point. It is amazing what would happen if we shut our mouths with our criticism. And this isn't the place to talk about how women should change their husbands, because I want to speak about the family later on. But I've got some good ideas that I'd like to share with you sometime. But positive reinforcement, powerful. So, number one, by what we say. Number two, by what we feel. Now, notice it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. What is it easier to do, to rejoice with those who rejoice or to weep with those who weep? If this were a classroom, I'd ask you for a response. Just shout it out. What is it easier to do? Many of you are saying rejoice. I disagree with you. It is easy to weep with those who weep. I mean, somebody is going through a tragedy and your heart goes out to them and you can weep with them. That's pretty easy. The hard part is rejoicing with those who rejoice. Somebody calls you on the phone and says, guess what? I just got $4 million in the mail because of my uncle's estate has been settled. Let's go out for a hamburger tonight and celebrate. Oh, sure. Of course. And then you go out for the hamburger, and then he says at the end, now, why don't we just split the cost? I'll tell you, it is hard to rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's suppose you're in a department in a bank or some work area, and you think that you should get the next promotion, and you are convinced that you're more qualified than your colleague, and your colleague gets the promotion and you don't. All right now, folks, all those of you who hollered, how easy it is to rejoice with those who rejoice. Are you going to rejoice with them? Are you going to say that that is wonderful? Do you know what's going to happen if that happens in heaven? You say, well, that won't happen in heaven because if I'm more qualified, I'm going to get the promotion. Don't be so sure, because Jesus might have a different opinion as to how qualified you are. But I believe that Jonathan Edwards is absolutely right. When he says in heaven, when we see people exalted above us, we will rejoice as if their exaltation were our own. You say, preacher, you're making the bar very, very high. Yes, I am. We're talking about something that can only be done by the Spirit, can't be done in the flesh. It is so contrary. Most of us want to weep when our enemy rejoices, and we want to rejoice when our enemy is weeping. We love to hear something, some tragedy happen to our enemy, and, oh, it feels so good. He had it coming to him. It's the way of the flesh. It's not the way of the Spirit. How do we do it? We do it in harmony with one another. Paul says, live in harmony, verse 16. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. That is really the answer, is when we're prideful, we are conceited. And it's conceit that makes us rejoice when our enemy is weeping. And so that's the second way, by the way in which we feel. And you say, well, how do we develop those feelings? It's through yieldedness and submission and spiritual sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us, because this is totally contrary to who we are. How do we respond then to those who are making life miserable, the people at work who are not committed to your happiness? How do we respond to them? Number one, by what we say. We bless those who curse. We bless those who wish to destroy us. By what we feel with people. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. And third, by what we do. By what we do. Verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Don't get even. The bumper sticker, you know, I don't get mad, I get even. No, that's the way of the world. Most bumper stickers are the way of the world. You don't say, I'm going to do to you before you do to me. That's not what you say, because you believe in God. And then, you know, in the Old Testament, it said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And the reason that was said is not that people would get justice, but it was a law to try to restrain vengeance. That if somebody took one eye out, so that you wouldn't blind them by taking both eyes out. That's vengeance. Vengeance is kind of a destroying kind of justice, where I'm going to go and I'm going to make it right. Now notice what the text says. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Is it sometimes impossible? Of course it's sometimes impossible. There are impossible people. Now maybe you've never met an impossible person, but they do exist out there somewhere. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room. Leave it to the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Wow. You want vengeance, and you're personally going to take vengeance? When that happens, and you want it so badly, you are denying the two attributes of God. You're saying that God doesn't love me, He doesn't care about me, and He is unjust. God is going to let this slip by. As it says in Isaiah 40, where the Jews were saying, the justice due me has escaped the attention of my God. There's no justice in the world, and God isn't doing a thing about it. No, vengeance is mine, I will recompense, says the Lord. Leave it to me. This is why I've always believed that forgiveness is a great act of faith, because forgiveness does not mean that I no longer want justice. It's just that now I trust God for justice, rather than taking it into my hands or visualizing what I can do. This is Pastor Lutzer. I hope today's message has spoken to your heart. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I don't need that message because my conscience and my heart is totally clear, but you do know someone who does need that message. We would encourage you to be sure to get this series of messages and to share it with your friends, because I believe it can be a means of healing and help to many. Yesterday, by phone, I spoke to a friend who listened to these messages and said that they were very, very painful because they brought to mind family relationships that were unresolved. But the good news is, he's beginning to do something about those relationships and starting the process of forgiveness and reconciliation. Oh, I pray that God may use what has been said to His honor and to His glory.
Erwin Lutzer with part two of Getting Over It, the last of eight messages on When You've Been Wronged. Monday, final thoughts on letting God be God, letting Him avenge those who persecute us. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the book, When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.